me to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's our text today. I have a message today. I'm calling it a plague of blindness, in particularly a plague of end-time blindness. You know, there's been several times in the history of the world when God has smitten people with blindness. As judgment, God struck them blind. Genesis 19 and verse 11, God smote the people of Sodom. You remember when they surrounded Lot's house, they wanted the two angels that he was harboring there, trying to keep them safe. And the Bible says these angels had to bring Lot into the house, and then they smote the men of Sodom, young and old, with blindness. And that didn't stop them from their intent or from their lust. And Genesis 19:11 says they wearied themselves. They wore themselves out trying to find the door to the house. They exhausted themselves, not looking for truth, not looking, you know, for God in any way, not repenting of sin, but they wore themselves out looking to gratify their lusts, even when they were under judgment. In 2 Kings and chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was another account where the Syrians kept plotting. The Syrian army, the Syrian king, kept making schemes and plots to destroy, to invade Israel. And every time they made a plan, Elisha the prophet knew about it by the Spirit of God, and he warned Israel, and they were ready for him. And every time they ambushed those who tried to ambush them. So all of Syria's plans were thwarted, and finally he said, we got a spy or something in our camp. Somebody's telling Israel everything that's going on. And they said, no, we don't have a spy. What they got? They got a prophet. That's the problem. They've got a prophet, and every time we plan some, you know, to ambush them, God tells the prophet. And so they're waiting for us. And so the king of Syria said, go get that prophet. He told his army, go get him. And so here's Elisha, you know, he gets surrounded by the Syrian army, horsemen, chariots, and they're all surrounding him. And God smote them all blind. He smote the whole Syrian army blind. And then Elisha led them like a baby. He led them like a baby right into the heart of Israel, to the capital, to Samaria. And then when the blindness came off of them, they were surrounded by Israel. They knew they were in trouble. And then they said, shall we smite them? Shall we smite them? But, you know, I like what Elisha prayed when he said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. Open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord did open their eyes and they saw. You might say, well, you know, those are Old Testament accounts, Brother Rusty. God might have smitten people with blindness in the Old Testament, but we live in the New Testament dispensation. I remind you of a little passage over in Acts chapter 13 where a sorcerer by the name of Elymas opposed Paul and the ministry that they were bringing into the area. And in Acts 13, let me just read a verse or two over here. It says, Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. In all of these cases, God smote people with blindness. This was divine judgment. Old Testament, New Testament. We know, according to the New Testament, Romans chapter 11, that right now blindness in part has happened to Israel. They had rejected the Messiah, and blindness has happened to them. Today, I want us to consider a plague of blindness that the Bible said would come across the earth. It would come upon the earth in the last days. It's not just going to sweep upon an individual person like Elymas the sorcerer. It's not going to just sweep upon a small village or a city like Sodom. It's not just going to sweep upon one army. It's going to sweep across the nations. And in fact, I believe it's already begun. And it's a darkness far worse than anything the world has seen heretofore. The Bible speaks of this darkness in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, where Paul the Apostle writes, "But if our gospel be hid," if our gospel be hid, "it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." If our gospel is hid, and hidden means to be covered up or to be veiled, Theia defines the word as to hinder the knowledge of a thing so that people don't grasp it. If it's hid, then Paul says it's hidden to the lost. That's the perishing, those that are dying. His subject is the gospel. If our gospel is hid, it's hidden to those that are dying because they just don't see it. That is, they don't get it. They don't recognize their need for it. They don't understand why they would need a Savior. It's foolishness to them. Remember, it's foolishness to the world. Now, we wonder, how can you not see something that is so plain? How can you not see something so clear? Because the gospel, you know, is really not complicated. The gospel message is simply that we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. Every man a sinner, every woman a sinner. And not just a sinner by birth, because, you know, we were born with a sin nature. But we're a sinner by practice, because nobody goes to hell because they were born with a sin nature. People go to hell because they sin personally and individually. Unfortunately, there's no exceptions to the fact that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And that sin that we've committed has awful consequences. First, it separated you from God, from the God of the Bible. Isaiah 59 says, God's arm isn't shortened that it can't save. His ear is not dull that it can't hear. But your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So he won't hear you. He chooses not to hear you. There's a far more powerful consequence. Not only is a person separated from God in this world because of their sins, but if they're not reconciled to God before they die, because, you know, at death all the debts come due, and if a person hasn't been reconciled to God by the time they die, then the wages of sin is death, and the second death as well. And they'll be condemned to share the same fate as the devil himself. The Bible tells us that oftentimes. The second death being cast into the lake of fire, standing before the great white throne judgment. Some of the most sober verses in all the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, when John, the writer, the anointed apostle, says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and all of them were judged out of the things that are written in the books. Whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire," which is the second death. It seemed like the most important thing in your life is to make sure that your name's in the book of life. In fact, nothing's more important than that. Your name can be in the who's who book, who's who of a success in this world. Oh, you can be famous. You can have plaques on the wall because you're such a success. You can have trophies. But if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then when all the bills come due, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, where the Bible says where the devil and his angels are, where people will spend all of eternity. Matthew 25, verse 41, he'll say to them on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, that's the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This debt of sin hangs over every man. Every man, every woman, every child. Sister Mida talked about the 16, or is it $18 trillion debt in the country. I just heard about this the other day. It said that, I just read this. It said every man, woman, and child in America has a $59,000 debt. Every child that's born is born with a $59,000 debt. That's just our national debt. $59,000 per person. Of course, there's a far worse debt. According to the Bible, the wages of sin is death. So there's a debt you cannot repay. You can never pay it off. In fact, you can't even pay it down. It's a debt that gets bigger by the day, because every day you live, your sin debt gets bigger. And if the day of death comes, when the debt comes due, then you die, and you will experience not only physical death, but the second death, being cast into the lake of fire. That's the bad news. Of course, Paul said, our gospel, that's the good news. The good news is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid our sin debt. And he paid it in full. He didn't just pay a down payment on it and leave you to pay the rest. He didn't put a deposit saying, "Now y'all pay the rest." He paid it in full. That's why if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He paid our debt. He paid it in full. But he's the only way to have your sin debt paid in full. And you know, that's the gospel. It's really very simple. It's very plain. It's very clear. Repent of sin. Believe on Christ. You'll be saved. He died for our sins, was buried, rose again, lives forevermore. We believe it. We preach it. Paul said, this is our gospel. In fact, right here in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, he calls it the glorious gospel of Christ. The light of the glorious gospel. You see that? Glorious? That's the word doxa in the Greek. It's where you, if you grew up in some religious traditions, you heard of the doxology. It's a psalm of praise to God, just magnifying God, singing of his greatness and his glories. It's an expression of gratitude to God. I remember in the Baptist church, it was always, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Amen. The doxology, song of praise. It speaks of magnificence, of splendor. It speaks actually in the Bible of the grandeur of the planets, the sun, moon, and stars. It speaks of that, of majesty and preeminence, the preeminence of a thing that belongs to God. He calls it the glorious gospel. Now, you can't really hide, you know, something glorious, the sun, moon, and stars. You can't really hide them. The clouds can obscure them for a little while, but they're going to break through, right? The Lord said, not even a city on a hill can be hid. How much less the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It can't be hid. But here he says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost. How can you hide something that is impossible to hide, really? How can you hide what's impossible to hide? And that's what I want to talk about today, because I believe the answer here is twofold. Y'all awake? It can be hidden because men are stubborn, and because they are defiant, and because men often refuse not to see. That is, they refuse to see. You know, you can refuse to see something. You can be blinded by your own will. They have a strange trend going around in America. I've only recently become aware of this, but they call it like a body image disorder, where people, you've heard of all kinds of disorders. Well, here's one you may have never heard of. People believe that they should be handicapped, and they may believe that they have an arm or a leg or maybe toes or an eye or something that they should not have. They want to be handicapped. And so this has occurred many times, where people will go to the hospital and want a healthy limb amputated. And the physicians won't do it. They know that this person has some kind of a disorder. There's something wrong. You want a healthy limb amputated. But some people have been so persistent about it that they have actually amputated limbs in order to make these people feel better about themselves. Because they want to lose this limb, lose this toe, lose this finger, lose this eye. And it's a bizarre thing, but it's a real thing. And they've interviewed these people, and they said, yes, after I was blinded, I feel so much better. I have so much more peace now. Or after they had a leg amputated, now they have so much more peace. Let me tell you, that's demonic. That is purely demonic, where a person desires to lose a healthy part of their body, a healthy limb. But you know, it shows you that some people want to not see or feel or hear. Look, there's reasons people drown themselves in alcohol. There's reasons people take so many pills, their mind becomes jello and oblivious, because they don't want to think. They don't want to. They don't want that. They want to be deaf to it or blind to it. Here in 2 Corinthians, I want you to back up with me just a little bit to chapter 3. In verse 13, where Paul speaks about Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, that veil is upon their eyes. Their minds were blinded, verse 14 says. The word there means to be calloused. It means to be made dull or hardened. Some versions translate it hardened. Their minds were hardened. They don't want to see. You know, the Jews did not want to see that Jesus was their Messiah. They didn't want to see that. They don't want to see that their Messiah was a carpenter born in a poor village that was going to suffer and die for their sins. That's not what they were looking for. They were looking for a king. Somebody who would come and rescue them from the oppression of these Romans. They didn't want to see. And they have multitudes of people who don't want to see today. Right here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, I'm going to read this in another version. It says, but their minds were closed. Yet another one says, the people were stubborn. They didn't want to see. Even today, they read the Old Testament, the Bible says, and they don't see Christ. How can you not see Christ, who is on every page, when you don't want to see? You know, it's the same way an atheist can look at the grandeur of the sun, moon, and stars and not see the handiwork of God. That's right. How can they not see? It's so plain for everybody to see. That's right. They don't want to see. Amen. That's why they don't want to see. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows forth His handiwork. His fingerprints are all over everything, all over nature. But people don't want to see. Amen. They don't want to see. You know, you can choose not to see. For the atheist, seeing what is plain is not an option. They don't want to see it. They choose not to believe. Like one of them said, we're not opening that door. You know, any door of a deity. We're not opening that door. They choose not to see. Like Jesus said, you choose not to come to me. It's your own stubborn will. But there's, of course, another reason why people don't see, and that's right here in 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not the light, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel can be hid, obviously. Men can fail to see the obvious, but we're told here it's because their thoughts, their minds, their understanding have been blinded to the truth by the God of this world, the God of this age. You know, there's really no other explanation when you see what's going on in our world and in our nation. There's really no other explanation. Men don't want to see, and Satan has blinded their minds. It's a combination of the two. People don't want to see. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to see the clear, the obvious, what's plain. And when you want to be blind, the Lord's going to let you. I don't see how else you can explain over 50 million children aborted in America. How can you explain this? I mean, really, how can a rational mind explain this when the same liberal, crazy people are screaming for the preservation of every kind of animal you can imagine? Every kind of animal, every kind of plant or tree or whatever, but human beings are fair game. Just eliminate the babies. Let's do away with them because it's our freedom to choose. How can they be so blind? I just told you how. They don't want to see, number one, and Satan has blinded their minds so that they cannot see. They don't want to see, so they cannot see. And so they can excuse the slaughter, a holocaust of over 50 million children. You don't want to see, God will... Not only will God allow you to be blind, God will send blindness to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, some of the most sobering verses that you'll read concerning the end times. It says, verse 11, for this cause, because they receive not the love of the truth, for this cause God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Because they receive not the love of the truth. Because they don't love the truth, God will send them a delusion. He will send them strong delusion. The word means powerful delusion. It means, some versions translate it, a working of error, the operation of deception. Powerful delusion. So that a lie, as ridiculous and absurd as it is, will become believable to them. They actually believe, this is my body, this is my choice. It's not this child's choice, it's not their body, it's my body. I can do away with it without consequence, without guilt. And yet, they want to save some little bug that lives in a rainforest somewhere. They want to save a little fish, so they're going to shut down manufacturing. Or they, you know, it gets really bizarre. They want to shut down fishing rodeos to save fish. Now, that's, you cross a line there. You wonder, though, about the blindness. How can they be so oblivious? Well, right here. The God of this age has blinded their minds. How else do you explain the lie of evolution? The lie of evolution, which has to be the greatest fraud ever perpetuated on humanity. The biggest fraud. If Darwinian evolution is true, there should be millions, tens of millions of transitional forms, fossils. There should be in a fossil record. But let me tell you what they've got. They've got a goose egg. They've got absolutely nothing. There should be something they can point to right now that said this is evolution taking place right before our eyes. It's not there. The non-viability of any kind of intermediate or transitional forms, that should be plain as day. But you know what? They don't want to see. When you don't want to see, and then you get sent this spirit of blindness. I look at what's going on in America, and I see the working of the devil all over. People choose not to see, and that's why you're dealing with some of this, some of the things we've been dealing with in the past few years, that marriage can be between two men. How can you not see that? Common sense tells you that's not true. Biology tells you that's not true. Christianity, Judaism tells you that's not true. I mean, good old common sense tells you it's not true. Thousands of years of human history tells you it's not true. But the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who believe not the gospel. Then you've got this transgender insanity that makes heroes out of a man who puts on a woman's dress and endangers 150 million women by opening up their shower rooms, bathrooms, dressing rooms to any man who feels like he wants to go in there.
That's right.
How can people believe that? I'll tell you how. They're blind.
Yeah.
You know, the saddest thing is that the younger generation is the blindest of all.
Oh, yeah.
Because they promote this thing.
Yeah.
They promote it. They believe it's great. It's a spirit of confusion, obviously, which, you know, God's not the author of confusion. But here we got this question. It's hid from the eyes of those, the minds of those who believe not, lest the light, the bright, shining, glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. Paul said that light has shined in our hearts, down in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It shined in our hearts. Shined in your heart. And by the grace of God, you welcomed the light. That's pure grace. But the light that is welcomed by some is despised by others. Remember, John 3, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. In fact, it goes on and says, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But John 3, 21 says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So there are those who are attracted to the light, but there are many others who are repulsed by the light. And the sad thing is that those who are blinded by the darkness, blinded by the devil, the Bible says when they love their sins, they choose to stay in the dark and they hate the light. But you know, the Bible also tells us that this is judgment. I'm going to read a few verses to you. Y'all still awake?
Yep.
Listen to this. Isaiah 29:10. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. Isaiah 44, verse 18. For he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. Why would he do that? Why would God shut men's eyes? Well, he tells us, Psalms 81:11, but my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. When you hate the light, when you don't want to see, God said, you love the dark, I'll give you darkness. I'll give you blindness. Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not choose the fear of the Lord, which gives me the idea that they could have. Had they not hated knowledge and love the dark. Proverbs 1:30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Here's what I've come to conclude. God has already sent the spirit of strong delusion upon this world. It's already been sent. I got an email from Brother Rick McGovern in the other day up in Pennsylvania. It's an email about a Washington Times article that he read. It was in the back section of the newspaper somewhere, just a small article about something that occurred in a mosque right down the street from the Orlando shootings, you know, when the fellow went into the nightclub, the Muslim fella swearing allegiance to ISIS and shot and killed 49 people and wounded so many others. Little article appeared in the back section of the Washington Times that said a visiting imam, it's like, you know, Muslim preacher, had spoken to this congregation right down the street from this nightclub and had told and had said in his message that they should kill homosexuals out of compassion. And while the article went on to say that they don't know that whether the guy who actually did all the shooting, whether he went there or not, they don't know. But it brought up this question, and I think it was a very good question. Why didn't you hear anything about this in any of the media? Why wasn't that announced or broadcasted anywhere? And suppose, just suppose, the media had found out that the church right down the street had said something like that. Now, if a Christian church had said something like that, it would still be every day in the newspapers and all over the broadcast news and so forth. But because it was in a mosque, what in the world, what kind of a spirit would suppress such knowledge, a spirit of blindness, that would favor Islam and hold Christianity in contempt and consider it despicable? And do you know that in many, many places, many liberal journalists and so forth, do you know they actually put the blame of that shooting on Christianity? Even though the fellas swearing allegiance to ISIS, they said, well, you know, it's still a Christian's fault because they perpetuate this antagonism towards the homosexual community. They don't embrace us. They don't, you know, they hate us. And their hate, you know, it just spreads. Well, the crazy thing is that this lost world in all of its blindness, they actually think that they see. In fact, they think they see clearly. They think that they are progressive. They're the ones with vision. They're the ones that are evolving. And the rest of us are still back in the Middle Ages. You know, we don't see, we're blind. I'm reminded of the Lord's words in Matthew 6 and verse 30. Matthew 6:23, he says, if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light in you is darkness, you know, you think you see, but what you see is actually wrong. Then here's the Lord's words. How great is that darkness? You talk about blind. Nobody's blinder than a man who thinks he can see. Yeah. Thinks he knows the truth, but he's in deep, dark error. I don't know if you saw this, but this was in also in the paper recently. The Presbyterian Church USA just had their annual meeting, and they prayed to Allah. They called Muhammad a prophet. Their prayer, now this is their general assembly. Their prayer, Allah bless us and our families. Lead us on the straight path, the path of all the prophets. And then they named them Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Then they went on and prayed, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, let us praise the Lord, peace be upon them, peace be upon Allah. And they prayed peace even upon the bigots and the Islamophobes. Yeah, Presbyterian Church USA. Well, you know, God wrote Ichabod on them a long time ago. But it just, again, shows you, they're so progressive. They think they see, but here's what the Lord said. When the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? There is a blindness sweeping our country. There is a moral blindness. There is a spiritual blindness that calls evil good and good evil. And it's unexplainable, except for the fact that men don't want to see. And because they choose not to see, God has sent them a spirit of strong delusion. Truth? How can it be that speaking truth is a hate crime? How can it be? Isaiah lamented when truth was fallen in the street. Today, it's not only fallen, it's kicked, shot, stabbed, because truth is despised today. Y'all awake? So, while this may seem a message of some despair, it's really not intended to be. I just want to make us aware that this should be to each of us, if anything, a call to action. And that action being this: love the truth, love God's word, do not stray from it, do not be pried loose from it. Don't listen to the reasonings and rationale of men and devils. There are some devil-inspired men out there, and women, and some of them wear the cloak of clergy, and they will cast doubts and aspersions upon the Word of God. Yes. Hold to the Word of God. Amen. Do not be moved away from it. Also, don't just love the truth, live the truth. Amen. Live the truth. Walk in the truth. And do so without apology. Do so boldly and do so confidently. And then proclaim the truth. That's our call, yours and mine. Proclaim it. Tell it. Share it. Witness of it. Because, you know, there is a God who heals blind eyes, who opens the eyes of the blind. And while we can't, there's things we can't do in our own power. There are things that God has ordained for us to do that He will use to open men's eyes. He says, for instance, faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He's the one who said we should preach the gospel to every creature. He's the one who said we should pray for all men. You know, if we do what God's called us to do, I believe there will be people that whose eyes He will open. In fact, He promises to do that. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to open men's eyes. Amen. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 42 and verse 6 and verse 7. He says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God wants to open the eyes of the blind. God does have a people who will repent and believe. You know what? When God sent Paul to preach the gospel, he stood before Agrippa one day in Acts chapter 26 and preaching to Agrippa, he said, God sent me to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Talking about the Jews, he sent me to preach to the Jews to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. Hey, God will open blind eyes. He opened yours. Yours were blind. Amen. Yours were dull. Yours were callous, just like mine. We were blind. We were lost. We were without hope. And then God opened our eyes. He drew you to Himself. You know, somebody prayed for you. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody cared enough about you to reach out to you. That's what we have to do. I do believe that God has a people, that God has a people in this world that He will save. Despite increasing blindness, God has a people out there that He will bring to the light. But you know, He has chosen to use vehicles to bring them to the light, and that's us. We're supposed to be those vehicles, those vessels, those proclaimers. You know how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them that bring the good news. They bring the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do, bring the gospel. So how about this? We pray for open doors. Pray for open hearts. Pray for open minds. I do believe that a spirit of darkness, a spirit of blindness has come across America, and it is becoming more deeply entrenched. I do believe that the Antichrist elements are becoming stronger. But you know what? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We're not to be afraid. We're not to withdraw. This is the time for us to shine. It's time for the church to shine. It's time for us to proclaim, to pray, to believe, and not to withdraw. Here is where the battle intensifies. I do believe that we are going to continue to see an erosion of many of our liberties. Amen. And still we are not going to become afraid. This country is changing from a country that was once favorable to Christianity to one that now holds Christianity in an unfavorable opinion. But you know, God's still got people out there. We may be a minority. We are a minority. But even as a minority, that's the way it's always been for the believers, for the true believers. They were always a minority. But the Lord's with us. Hey, you can't lose when God's on your side, right? He's with you. He's for you. He gives us grace. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We don't have to be afraid. We're going to live our Christian life. We're not going to hide our light under a bushel. Hello? We're going to pray for all men. Just as He tells us to, pray for all men. Pray even for those who are in authority for a quiet and peaceable life here. And let's not just love truth. Let's live truth. Let's proclaim truth. Clearer, plainer than ever before, unashamedly. Let's proclaim truth, loving all men, hating none.
Amen.
All for the glory of God, because I do believe our Lord has a people out there who will repent. That's why He has delayed His coming. You know, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm glad He delayed it long enough to get me in the kingdom. And He's still got more out there. Some of them are our loved ones. Praying for them all. Amen. Father, we do pray today that You would have mercy upon us, upon our land, our nation, our leaders, our families. Lord Jesus, while we see encroaching darkness, we also see, Lord Jesus, that we walk in light, that a light that cannot be hid. The light of truth, the light of the gospel, the light of Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk boldly and confidently in this light, the light of Your word. Help us to walk courageously in this light. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love truth, to live truth, to proclaim truth. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray, to hold fast to truth, Your word, Your way. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be bolder than ever before, more confident than ever before, knowing that You're with us and that You're wrapping all of this up. Help us also to see, Lord, that the men, the women who oppose us, Lord, that it's not a flesh and blood battle, but they are men and women who have been blinded by a powerful foe, that grace can break through. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray, to be agents of light, bearers of light, salt in this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Also, you see that we are going